subpar. But it's okay. Brad Johnson is never subpar. He is the smiling assassin, a legend of the Western Bulldogs Football Club. You can see him dominating on Fox Footy these days, and great to have him as part of our team on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Jono.
Good morning, Half. Good morning, Whitey. How are you guys?
We are going well. How are you in lockdown? What's going on?
We're okay, mate. Where I live, we're not officially in lockdown. We're just not letting anyone else enter the realms of the city of Geelong, Half. So that's where we sit at the moment. So look, we do feel for everyone that is in that position, of course, because it's extremely difficult for a lot of people. We're just in a position where we are at the moment that things are okay. So hopefully we can stay that way and continue the rebuild to get Victoria back up and going again.
That'd be nice. So I don't have to pass any roadblocks or anything to get to your house this morning, do I?
Well, I did read this morning, Half, because I do have to head up to Melbourne over the next few days for Fox Footy, just what the process is. And yeah, I think on the way back, there will be some roadblocks set up that I will have to show ID that I actually live in the region of Geelong. So just to get home. But that's the process we're all going by at the moment, because it is within an area. And if it spreads too far and wide, that logistically becomes even worse for the state. So I can understand it in some ways.
Okay. Right. Well, you're in the safe zone. You can do whatever the hell you like, and we'll just sit here in our houses, not move, all right? Don't rub it in. No, hey, John, there's a bit to talk about with you. There's not only Thursday night footy, which we're looking forward to, Geelong and Brisbane, which should be a cracker, really, even though it is going to be played at the SCG, which we'll talk about. But one of the big stories in footy at the moment is the Ds and how they're tracking. And there was a lot of expectation around the Ds at the start of the season, and I think that sort of shapes the conversation and the level of disappointment, I suppose, at the Melbourne Football Club at the moment. How have you seen how they've gone about it, and what do they do from here? Have you experienced a situation where you've had expectation not lived up to it, and you're just hanging for a W?
Oh, not as an individual, Half, but as a team, yeah, for sure, handling that disappointment and expectation. I think that's something that flows with the nature of playing football for a long period of time, and you guys would have seen it and experienced it as well, because you know, you get to that point where you're in a bit of a window and you might step out of that and then you start to rebuild, and you can really see the fans and the media and everyone can see the sense that you are growing as a footy club. So there are other adjustment periods throughout your career in terms of handling scrutiny at different times, but it normally comes when the expectation is extremely high, and that's what we found with Melbourne at the start of this year. Look, they were fantastic a couple of years ago. They had all their tricks in the game. They had their chance to really, take out the grand final that year, and they missed that opportunity. And from that point, it's really been a bit of a struggle for them to recapture some of that. And the change in rules, 666, that seemed to have an effect early on. And they just haven't been able to get their mojo back together again. And from that, the expectation at the start of this year was quite high. And everyone thought, oh, last year, where they finished, they'll be the side to bounce back and be the ones to, you know, get the softer draw and then move through and push themselves up into finals contention again. That's why the scrutiny is coming at the moment, because they haven't been able to live up to the expectation from the outside that everyone expected of them. So what do you do, Harp? You sit there as a group, they're probably saying, oh, we don't read or we don't see any of what's going on in terms of what the media is saying about us. But they would. Some would, some wouldn't, of course. And they'd be relying on Simon Goodwin to change this up dramatically. And that's the challenge now. How do they go from the position they're in now with all the scrutiny? What is the answer and the solution to make sure that this can drop off quickly over the next couple of weeks?
So I've got a bit of a theory on Melbourne, Jono, in that I think it's overblown, because they've lost to West Coast in round one in Perth before the break.
Yep.
They've then had games against Geelong and Richmond in recent weeks. Plus, they didn't play against Essendon, which I think would have had an impact on them, and had an impact on Essendon in the way they played against Carlton. I think we've got to judge them when the games do get a little bit easier. So internally, is Simon Goodwin addressing the outside noise, or is he staying the course and sort of trying to build that sort of narrative around, don't panic, everything's okay, come up against good opposition, we're okay, or are they not okay?
No, they're not okay, but I think Simon Goodwin would be trying to do that, no doubt. That's the art of trying to get your group up and motivated to perform at the optimal level, you know, this week against the Gold Coast Suns. So he should be addressing all those areas. And the players should be trying within their own leadership to address those areas as well. They still have to do whatever is possible this weekend to get a W next to their name. They play the Gold Coast Suns, who would be a tiny bit flat on the back of Matt Rowell, the injury he copped. But look, it comes down to the skill level. And I think it's more around the ball, and they seem to panic around the ball. And it's, when I mean panic, I mean they get the ball and it's a quick release when they do have actually some time and space to actually probably move through that contest to allow themselves to get a better handball release to then obviously push forward, because everyone talks about that connection between, you know, the midfield and the forward line at the moment. Then they just seem to be, you know, out of sync in terms of if a midfield marks it 70 metres out from goal, the forward's not leading to his leg naturally. They're trying to do too many things and lead to the other side of the ground and all that. They've just got to keep things really simple in terms of their connection when they go forward of centre. But they just got to relax a little bit around the ball, I think, and not panic so much in terms of when they receive the ball. Yes, the pressure's going to come. And you know what, Whitey? This week they're playing against one of the highest pressure teams in the competition in Gold Coast. Now, but they'll sit there and think, we should win this game against Gold Coast. We match up extremely well against these this young team. But this is the ultimate test, because Gold Coast put the most pressure on out of most teams in the competition at the moment. So this is the best way to turn the corner in terms of handling the pressure through the midfield. They will close up space on Melbourne. And can they hold onto the ball? Can they release at the right time? Can they actually handball to the advantage, not the disadvantage of their teammates, and sit it behind so they have to go back and get the ball? All these little things under pressure this week that they'll have to handle. And if they do, it's a tick forward.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a challenge, because as you say, the pressure of Gold Coast will make this very interesting. And who would have thought, John, that you'd ever think that you'd say to yourself that this is the real test coming up against Gold Coast?
Like, well, that's right. But Gold Coast are evidence, aren't they, of how you can turn things quite quickly as a collective group to then have the positive talk about you all the time, even if you do lose your young gun midfielder. You know, hopefully an Isaac Rankin comes back into this side this week, and what a step up that is for them again as a unit. But they've changed it as the collective, and Stuart Dew's been a big part of that. And I think it's the way they play their footy. Melbourne just got to get back to that basic elements of footy and just play the game. Don't worry about all the other, you know, tricks and that they do bring into their contest.
So is it just in terms of Melbourne and their skill execution? You talk about handballing to an advantage side and kicking to the right, to the leg and all that sort of stuff. Is that a system problem, do you think, or is it just confidence that players just are that nervous and tight and wound up about the pressure that comes with the expectation that they're not delivering on, that they just freeze and can't do it?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Art, because you can see that in their movement a little bit. You know, there's no freedom in just the way they are as a team. You know, they seem to be searching for everything rather than it naturally just coming into the way they play their footy. And we know when the good teams are humming, it's just a real natural flow that is happening. So you do have to manufacture it, though, for a short period of time, especially when you're trying to turn things around. You know, you need to manufacture that belief in your ability to perform as a group. And whether that is a tackle count or whether that is restricting uncontested marks of the opposition because you're putting pressure on to close up space. Or there's two or three stats that they may need to just rely on this week for their own benefit, whether that is contested ball, whether it is winning clearances and winning it by one. It doesn't matter, as long as they win the clearance numbers, where they sit about 18th in the competition at the moment, which did surprise me with the talent they've got in there. So there's those little things that they can get their wins on, which will then obviously help their performance. And they will have to manufacture it for a couple of weeks, but then hopefully then it just becomes that natural flow that we know they can produce.
Now, I know you're an innovator. Certainly. Sorry, what?
Yeah, you go. No, you go.
I know you're an innovator, Jono, with some of the garments that you're making for female athletes across the globe.
Yes. Thank you, Huff.
We call it Zena, of course. Z-E-N-A. Z-E?
That's right. Yeah, that's you right. Got it, mate. Spot on. Thank you.
Check it out on the website, zena.com.au. You'll love it. Great for the girls out there. Now, there's innovation being put to the clubs at the moment, this pinpoint kicking aid. Have you come across this story, that adhesive strip that sticks across the laces so that players kick straight? Bradley, has it got to that point where we're requiring outside forces to come in and straighten up players kicking?
Well, possibly. Look, at the end of it, I have Will Jesser, who is a part of that program. He reached out to me on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, actually, and that's where I sort of first started to become aware of what the product was. You can't, I suppose, at the end of the day, at least someone's trying something out there to give the players, whether it's at AFL level or even just local level, football, male and female, just a chance to try something new. And we don't know, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, this could be one of the best things that's brought into footy. It's great that someone's out there at least having a crack at something. You know, whether it works or not, or whether it's up to sits in the AFL landscape or not, well, that's something that will be trialled over the next period of time. So, look, I don't know if it'll work or not, Half. You know, at the end of the day, these clubs will trial it. And if they come out with a big tick and it becomes, you know, something that does aid in terms of that accuracy or the slipperiness off the boot with the Sharon and the type of boots that we have these days anyway, which are a bit different to what we played with back in the day, then it may be positive. So that's where I sit on it, mate, because I've been there with what we're doing with our Xena garment to protect the breast and ribs of females playing contact sport, and we're trying something. We're giving the girls an option, and this is all it is. It's giving the players an option to try something.
Very good point about the boots. Back when you and I were playing, and back in the old days, it was black and white TV, Jono, there was nothing but kangaroo leather. There was nothing but leather on the boots. These days, it's basically plastic. You're basically playing in a plastic shoe. That can't be helping the skill level and the ball coming off the boot correctly, can it?
No, and I agree with that totally, Harp. And I think the players are searching in a way for the old-style boot again.
Yeah.
Just to try and get that traditional leather that we grew up with. You know, whether it was you know, the Puma King or the Copa Mundi or the Adidas, you know, like all the Predator, even at one stage, I think was a popular boot coming through. But they had that really good leather on it that seemed to just have that good penetration when you kicked. It didn't slip off as much. But also, it came down to the fact that, you know, we did practice a lot. Like, honestly, from about the age of 10, I was out in the backyard kicking ball after ball after ball.
Yeah, and true.
You know, and even when I first got to the Bulldogs, Steve Wallace grabbed me, and we trained for 2 hours, but he grabbed me for an hour after each session just to kick. So I'm not sure whether that sort of thing happens as much today because of the, you know, the elements of the game and where it sits. So it was a little bit different, I think, for us growing up as well in the environment of the AFL, where we could spend as much time as we wanted to out in the park and no one pulled us in to stop.
But Brad, isn't this the big problem? And I'm big on this, and obviously I didn't play AFL football like you two. But we've got a situation where we're blaming the newness of the footballs, we're blaming the boots, but the reality is they don't put in the practice that they once did with elementary skills in AFL football. And surely some team at some point's going to say, you know what, maybe we need to change the way we train and prepare and spend more time on that and less time on defensive formations and set plays and all these sorts of things to give players the key to all of football is kicking the bloody thing properly.
Yes, Whitey. Yes, yes. I totally agree. That's why I said last week that if I ever did coach in this wonderful game of ours, I'd strip it all the way back. You know what? It's full circle. The game is going full circle anyway, because even with the way that we talk now about whether we go back to under-19s or having a full reserve grade competition, which is what we traditionally grew up with and watched, it would be fantastic. That's the way that I would approach a club, no doubt, in this world. It'll all be around those extra skills. Go and just train, boys. Go and if you want to do an hour after training, go and do it. You know what I mean? Just do your kicking, kick and get those skills up to an appropriate level. I totally agree with that. It didn't hurt us, and I'm sure it wouldn't hurt the players today. Now, that might sound simplistic in terms of where the game's at, but ultimately it is those basic elements that enable our game to tick along at the elite level that it does.
And so a golfer who spends hours and hours on the range might need more time in the physio room because he's got a sore back or he's got sore arms or whatever because he just keeps practicing the skill. But when the time is there to execute under pressure, he's backing his preparation in. And I'm just not sure whether in a football sense, like we spoke to Matthew Lloyd yesterday, and I know how many hours he spent on his goal kicking because that's what he was paid to do. he was paid to kick goals and win games for his team, finishing off the good work from further up the ground, that I just can't be convinced that the technical side and the mental strength is there as much as perhaps what it was 20 years ago. And I know there's more fatigue in the game and all these sorts of things, but I think we're looking for excuses as to why players aren't as good as they should be, because I'm not sure they put the time and preparation in. Now, I might be naive by saying that, but that's just what it looks like.
No, I don't think it is at all. It's more difficult during the footy season, and this year's different again. So let's put that in the perspective that it needs to, because if you're having the 4-5 day break or 6 day break, it does become a little bit more difficult because you are chasing recovery. But during the summer in particular, I think that's the ideal time to really work on it. There's still elements that you can do throughout the season as well to make sure that you are working on the skills you're talking about. We're exactly the same. We'd spend hours on our goal kicking week in, week out. We'd be, you know, trying to get on the MCG as much as possible. Eddie had as much as possible back in the day, Marvel now. So we were doing everything we possibly could to mix it up and spend hours on our craft, because you're right, Matty Lloyd set the tone of that. And did we hear about that? Of course we did as forwards. Lloydie was the best in the business. And he's spending hours on that. It's like, okay, well, the best is doing it. Well, you know, that's probably not a bad plan for us as well. So, look, I think that those elements of what we're talking about, you can still have your tricks in the game and you can still have, you know, the style of play you want, but ultimately you've got to be able to execute the style and you've got to execute it effectively. And the only way to do that is to have your skill level at that optimum. And it comes down to all those elements we've already chatted about this morning.
That makes perfect sense. Jason Dunstall did a lot of marking and kicking too, funnily enough.
Yes. That's exactly right.
He was a pretty handy player in his day, Jason.
And I tip in you did a lot of kicks to Jason Dunstall in terms of trade. You would have done hundreds and hundreds to understand him as that key forward that you did have. You mightn't have done as many to Ben Dixon, but I'm sure you did a lot to Jason Dunstall.
Ben Dixon was busy leeching off me as a roommate, didn't cook for a year.
So, I'll ask this question, guys. I know we've got to talk about tonight's game, but this is a serious question. These players that are in hubs at the moment, if a player went up to their coach or their fitness man and said, right, we're just sitting around doing nothing all day, we can't really go anywhere, can I go and take a wheelie bin full of footies and go and kick between two palm trees up in Noosa for 2 hours just to practice my goal kicking? Would they be allowed to do that, or does it have to be all within the structure of their programs?
I actually don't know the answer to that, Whitey, which is probably wrong in itself, isn't it? Because part of me goes, I'd love a player to do that, and whether they've got the initiative to do that would be fantastic. So if I was in that position, a player come up to me, I'd be like, yeah, you know what, you've got the initiative, let's go, let's control it, go for your life. You might go for 2 hours, you might break it down for an hour or something like that. And I don't know, honestly. And that's the truth with it all. You'd love players to take that initiative. Whether they're given the green light or not would basically be dependent on, these days, you think, how many Ks or how much load they've had already that week. Yep, definitely.
Interesting. John, let's have a look at tonight's game at the SCG, Geelong and the Brisbane Lions. Yes, that's right. That's what you heard, Geelong and Brisbane at the SCG. Sam Simpson comes in for the Cats. Jack Stephen goes out. Managed Jack after his best game for the Cats last week. From what I saw, he was pretty good. Dane Zorko, the skipper, comes back in for the Brisbane Lions. And Cam Ellis-Yolman is injured and Callum Archie plays his 50th game. We saw the Lions really answer some questions last week, Jono, against Port Adelaide. It was a big build-up to that game. Port Adelaide with a raging team in footy, good brand of footy, really aggressive, big power forwards. But Brisbane just shut everything down and dominated proceedings. And the Cats did a fair number on the Gold Coast Suns down at GMHBA Stadium. What are you looking for in this game from both of these teams?
Oh, it's going to be an absolute cracker, guys. I'm really looking forward to what a way to start the weekend with everything that's gone on this week and all the teams having to depart. This is a great way to sort of get going again and get back into the rhythm. It's going to be fast paced. I hope it is anyway. We know Brisbane, how good are the Brisbane Lions? They play the Gabba so well. So that's the biggest challenge, I think, for both these teams here is at the SCG, who is going to be able to handle that and plays that the best? Who does it really suit? And you look at it and look, it's a battle of the midfield. We understand that it normally is in today's footy. Geelong are extremely strong in that realm. So, you know, they'll give their forwards first crack at it, I think, early on. Geelong have to continue, I think, to play with that speed we saw last week against Gold Coast. It really does suit them as a footy club. They're able to get that freedom in their movement to allow their forwards to work one out. Radigalia looked great when he was on the lead last week because the ball was coming to him with a bit of speed and he was able to get those one-on-one opportunities to get his big frame in front and take a couple of grabs. Same with Tom Hawkins, where he was able to get a couple over the back, which we haven't seen Geelong do in, you know, the last 12 months since they went on that, since they started so well last year and then started to fade away. They got some ball over the back, some easy goals. First time we've seen that. So, look, it's going to be an absolute cracker. I'm looking forward to this so much, Harf, that, you know, I don't think, you know, I don't know how I'm going to handle the rest of the day, mate, to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to this so much. Bring it on already.
So I'm interested, Brad, in your thoughts about Brisbane. Have they done enough in this small sample size of four or five games to tell you they are definitely better than what they were last year?
Yep, 100%, Whitey. And you can see the maturity in that group with, you know, some of their, I suppose, younger players that are developing. And there's still a long way to go. Like Eric Hipwood, there's still so much improvement and consistency in the way that, you know, what he can bring to the table for that footy club. You look at the fact, I think, for me, is that Dane Zorko didn't play last week and they just went bang as a group. And that's part of that growth aspect of it as well. The fact that one of their best players, small forward into midfielder, wasn't there. And that did not worry them one bit. Where in the past, that may have worried them because they needed Zorko to have 25 and kick two. So that's probably the biggest point for me. And he comes back in, it just bolsters their lineup.
It's going to be a ripper. Who wins, Jono?
I'm going for the Cats just because it's at the SCG. That's the only thing I can come up with. This is going to be that tight, I think, throughout the night. And I think the Cats will just have enough strength to get another win.
Do you reckon that, we said before, I've been thinking about, that they will play with the speed that we saw against the Gold Coast in that first half particularly? Do you reckon that's a new mode for them? Or is that opponent-specific, do you think?
No, I think that... Well, it worked for them at the first half of last year. They were just going, and that's what enabled them to get the wins they did before. And then they seemed to slow their football down. And I don't think I think the opposition, with the how structured they are these days, Whitey, they just get back too quickly when you do go slow. So they're able to then defend the ground more easily. And I think that's what sides are now trying to overcome, and playing with a bit more speed, playing with that handball receive type football, so that the opposition can't set up defensively on slow play, because they'll give you the pockets and then they'll, you know, from kick out, that's how they do it. Then they'll compress the mark. Then you've got one place to go, long down the line. So that's what sides are now trying to really, you know, really overcome. It was like GWS last week when they played. They never went to the pockets once on kick out. They went to the 45, turned and go. And all of a sudden they're starting to play better football because the opposition can't set up effectively on them. And that's the challenge that the Cats have got.
It's a really interesting point you make, Brad. There was something that was on the coverage last week with Brett Ratton talking about St Kilda, and it was one of the things they recorded during the week doing some planning. And Brett was talking about the fact that they want constant movement. They don't want to be able to see opposition being able to set up behind the ball and be predictable with slow sort of kick mark sort of activity, which means that they become predictable to defend against. They want to be always on the move. And if you make a mistake turning it over, well, that might happen. But we've got to find a way to score and to pick a way through a defence. And that's through constant movement, which is kind of what you're talking about there.
Yeah, the positive error is no worries. A coach wouldn't worry about that one bit. And you will have times in the game that you will be slowed up. And that's just the way that it is these days, and you can't go fast all the time. But I think if the movement of the ball in terms of that positive aspect we're talking about outweighs that slower, negative, controlled football, I think that's better for the lineup. You'll have your structures in place if you are slowed up 70 metres out from goal and you've got to go down the line and those aspects of things. You might go inboard at certain stages just so you can put the percentages in that kick in favour of your teammates up the field. But outside of that quickness and that ball movement, you can see the players thrive on it. They naturally want to play that way anyway, and and they love doing it. So I think that's why St Kilda's getting the positive results they are. The Brisbane, we've seen that for over 12 months now. Port Adelaide, although they were disappointing last week, exactly the same. And, you know, the top teams that are sitting in the ladder, top of the ladder at the moment are those sides that do play that way. And we actually hope it stays that way, because if it does and one gets up, look out, we may see the game start to revolve back to the way that we all love it.
That would be nice. That would be nice, Jono. Great to chat to you as always about the world of footy and the build-up to Thursday night footy, which you can't get enough of, clearly, what you were saying before. I don't know how you're going to keep yourself together through the afternoon, Jono. But we wish you the best of luck doing it and look forward to catching up with you again next weekend, mate. Have a great footy weekend.
Thank you. Thanks, Whitey. Thanks, Harv.